वथे वासुदेवाया ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 8, Chapter 10, we're going to read chapter summary and verses till text 6. And then there's a purport in text 6. Okay, this is chapter summary by Srila Prabhupada. Entitled, The Battle Between the Demigods and the Demons. The summary of chapter 10 is as follows. Because of envy, the fight between the demons and the demigods continued. And the demigods were almost defeated by demoniac maneuvers and became morose. Lord Vishnu appeared among them. Both the demigods and the demons are expert in activities involving the material energy. But the demigods are devotees of the Lord, whereas the demons are just the opposite. The demigods and the demons churn the ocean of milk to get nectar from it. But the demons, not being devotees of the Lord, could derive no profit. After feeding nectar to the demigods, Lord Vishnu returned to his abode on the back of Garuda. But the demons, being most aggrieved, again declared war against the demigods. Bali Maharaj, the son of Virochana, became the commander-in-chief of the demons. In the beginning of the battle, the demigods prepared to defeat the demons. Indra, king of heaven, fought with Bali, and other demigods like Vayu, Agni and Varuna fought against other leaders of the demons. In this fight, the demons were defeated. And to save themselves from death, they began to manifest many illusions through material maneuvers, killing many soldiers on the side of the demigods. The demigods, finding no other recourse, surrendered again to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who then appeared and counteracted all the illusions presented by the jugglery of the demons. Heroes among the demons, such as Kalanemi, Mali, Sumali, and Malyavan, fought the Supreme Personality of Godhead and were killed by the Lord. The demigods were thus freed from all dangers. Should we chant first text? Sri Sukha Uvacha Iti Danava Daiteya Navindan Amritam Nirpa Yukta Karmani Yatascha Vasudeva Paranmukha Sri Sukha Uvacha Iti Danava Daiteya Navindan Amritam Nirpa Yukta Karmani Yatascha Vasudeva Paranmukha. Mataji's, please. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Iti thus, Dhanava Daiteya, the asuras and the demons, na not avindan achieve the desired result. Amrutam nectar, nirpa, O King, Yukta, all being combined, Karmani, in the churning, Yata, engaged with full attention and effort, Cha, and Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Paranmukha, because of being non-devotees. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, the demons and the daityas, all engaged with full attention and effort in churning the ocean. But because they were not devotees of Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, they were not able to drink the nectar. This is text 2. Translation. O King, after the Supreme Personality of Godhead had brought to completion the affairs of churning the ocean and feeding the nectar to the demigods, who are his dear devotees, he left the presence of them all and was carried by Garuda to his own abode. Text 3. Seeing the victory of the demigods, the demons became intolerant of their superior opulence. Thus they began to march toward the demigods with raised weapons. Text 4. Thereafter, being enlivened because of drinking the nectar, the demigods, who are always at the shelter of the lotus feet of Narayana, used their various weapons to counteract the demons in a fighting spirit. Text 5. O King, a fierce battle on the beach of the ocean of milk ensued between the demigods and the demons. The fighting was so terrible that simply hearing about it would make the hair on one's body stand on end. Text 6. Translation. Both parties in that fight were extremely angry at heart, and in enmity they beat one another with swords, arrows, and variety of other weapons. Purport. There are always two kinds of men in this universe, not only on this planet, but also in higher planetary systems. All the kings dominating planets like the sun and moon also have enemies like Rahu. It is because of occasional attacks upon the sun and moon by Rahu that eclipses take place. The fighting between the demons and the demigods is perpetual. It cannot be stopped unless intelligent persons from both sides take to Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Destarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. So the celebration of the demigods after receiving the nectar didn't last very long. Immediately, you know, the demons figured out, like, you know, they were cheated, and they, with raised weapons, they started attacking again. So this is the material world for us. And the war in the material world will never end. Like one time Srila Prabhupada was asked, like, you know, why there's wars sometimes. And Prabhupada's response was, we should ask why there appears to be some peace sometimes. Should ask the question the other way around, because the nature of the material world is that it's dukkhalayam ashashvatam, it's temporary and miserable. And there are no cover-ups in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explains it very clearly that this is not, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, this is not a place for a gentleman, this world. And there's war going on in all levels. Internally, also there's battles going on within every soul. Especially for devotees, we can see it because we become so conscious of it. We become conscious through chanting. We see the difference. You know, when we were materialists, we didn't even know that, you know, there was a soul, and, you know, we are in the material world and there's a spiritual world. We're like so confused and in the modes of nature that, you know, we don't even know, like, we're just like animals. But once we come to Krishna consciousness, we can see there's like a battle going on. And it's explained that how, even till the last moment of our life, you know, this, we have to keep making the right choices. It's explained even at the time of death, Maya is on one ear and Krishna and devotees are on the other. Still we have the choice even till the last moment, who we going to listen to, who we going to listen from. It's like Prabhupada gives that example of how, you know, the king was a king. He asked his minister, like, you know, what age does this desire for sense enjoyment, especially attraction to opposite sex, goes away? And the minister, being a realized soul, he said, oh, it doesn't go away. And the king thought, when you're old, it goes away. So he wanted the minister to prove it. So the minister asked the king to bring his beautiful daughter to go see this old dying man. And even though this person was dying, like, you know, really old, he was polite to the king and made an eye contact, but then he was looking at this daughter of the king the whole time. So this is, you know, Maya. This is like, you know, we can't get out of Maya just by growing old. The only thing that time doesn't destroy is ignorance. Time destroys everything else. So we cannot hope that this world, we cannot hope that this world changes into like a, you know, peaceful, nice, comfortable place for us. But Krishna is explaining and teaching in the Bhagavad Gita how we can transcend this material world. That's the art given in the Bhagavad Gita. We can't change it. So many people have come and gone, and they're called grace personalities, and they're remembered and this and that, but we don't even know where they went. You know, even the great personality was fighting for freedom and stuff. Especially in Kali Yuga, there's like war at a drop of a hat, you know. Doesn't take much for even big countries to start fighting. And they all have like atomic weapons and you know, the leaders are not like really like saintly personalities. They're ready to wipe each other out for no reason. I just saw in the news last week how U.S. is in the process of getting a jet, like a war plane, worth $1.5 trillion. $1 trillion is like 1,000 billion. Can you imagine that? 1.5 trillion. Like so many people are homeless and so much going on in this country. I was telling Madhavendra Puri this, and he suggested that if they give that to Krishna consciousness, we can open Govindas everywhere and distribute sumptuous prasad, and nobody will be like fighting with each other. They'll be so satisfied. So this is Kali Yuga's ocean of faults. Kalo dosha nide is like ocean of faults. And it's one of the acharyas is singing how this Kali is like a dog with rabies. You know, when a dog with rabid dog bites you, like very little chance of surviving. But the Kali Yuga is like that. There's wars everywhere and people don't have any real solution. People don't know why there is, you know, wars, and people don't know which sides to take. And it's like my guru was joking. He said, oh, so many Americans are, you know, going on the internet and writing news threads about, you know, this fight between Ukraine and Russia. And when they were asked, do you know where is Ukraine? Most of them, they were so actively involved in this debate, didn't even know where it was Ukraine on the map. So everybody is so active, everybody wants to take sides and give solutions. Like this one girl was promoting this thing on Facebook. She's created an app, and the function of this app is that it detects any product that was made in Israel. So her point was, Israel is so bad, we shouldn't buy any products made in Israel. So this app will tell you like how to avoid it. So the app is called Boycott. So when people really believe that, they're like, you know, coming up with solutions and they have right understandings. But as devotees, we can understand, you know, how superficial these fights are and the solutions are. Doesn't go anywhere. But Prabhupada, as usual, so brilliant in his purport, is explaining all time to come. He's saying the fighting between the demons and the demigods is perpetual. It cannot be stopped unless intelligent persons from both sides takes to Krishna consciousness. Both sides, that's amazing. It was basically saying like, become a devotee, you know. And we'll see in this same canto, like coming up, how there was this great demon, Bali Maharaj, is showing us how to become a devotee through surrendering to Vamanadev, through surrender, just by associating with devotees and Krishna, our hearts become cleansed. This is actually the solution to all the problems of the world. All animosity goes away. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's so many beautiful pastimes One of them was how Mahaprabhu was, going through Jharkhand forest. From Orissa, he was going through Jharkhand forest to go to Benares. And he was traveling with Balabhadra Bhattacharya. And Mahaprabhu was doing Harinam Sankirtan in the Jharkhand forest, and it was amazing things were happening. Balabhadra Bhattacharya was amazed to see how all these animals were participating in this Harinam. And as soon as they participated in Harinam, and being in the presence of Mahaprabhu, they became like non-envious towards each other. I mean, all of us, we've seen like so many documentaries, like, you know, tigers and deers are like, you know, not, you know, really enemies. They're like scared to death, like deers are scared to death when they see a tiger. But in these pastimes, you know, the snakes and the elephants and all kinds of animals were participating, and they were like embracing each other and kissing each other. It was a very beautiful pastime. But Prabhupada explains, you know, we're not so powerful that we can do Harinam and, you know, liberate and make devotees among animal species. But Prabhupada explained, at least we should spread Krishna consciousness among the two-legged animals, namely like human beings, and give them like Harinam and Prasadam and books. And this way, people's hearts will change, and, you know, they really wouldn't want to fight any longer. And Prabhupada is explaining specifically that people should become devotees of Krishna, not demigods. Because this word, bhakti, really doesn't apply to worship of demigods. It only applies to the worship of Vishnu. Because when you approach a demigod, usually we have like millions of material desires. And we are approaching them, hopefully they will fulfill those desires, and in exchange we offer them something. So Prabhupada is explaining we should introduce people to Krishna consciousness and how to become unalloyed devotees of Krishna. Don't want anything in return. There's so many examples like Kolavecha Sridhar, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. There's so many devotees. You know, they don't want anything in exchange for their devotion, for their service. Generally in the neophyte stage, it's like, you know, we're so, Sri Sachi was explaining nicely the other day, like we're so into ourselves and we have so many selfish desires. We're doing a little bit for Krishna, but we want for ourselves so many comforts and, you know, so many necessities. But a real devotee does not want anything. Does not want anything for himself. It's like Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri, he had a dream that, you know, this deity, Gopal deity, was actually buried underground, and he was feeling hot. So Madhavendra Puri went through so much difficulties to excavate and build a temple and create this huge festival and establish deity worship and regular offerings. He didn't have any Lakshmi or any manpower. And he was single-handedly doing all this, and Krishna sent him so much help. And then in his dream, the deity came and said, "I'm feeling so hot, can you go all the way to like Puri and bring me like sandalwood pulp?" And it was no question, he immediately left to bring the sandalwood proof. And then again Krishna came in his dream and said, "Oh, you can give it to the deities there, because you don't have to carry all the way here and I'm non-different." So a devotee would do anything, any risk, there's no question of his himself, everything aside, Krishna first. And this is actually what really satisfies us. It takes a long time to understand this. But if we understood in our beginning stages of Krishna consciousness, we save ourselves from so much endeavors. Because nothing of this world that we're working hard to get for ourselves is going to satisfy us. Ultimately, whatever we do for Krishna, that's the real happiness. So a devotee puts aside everything and minimizes everything and fully engages in the service of Krishna. He doesn't want anything for himself. I was actually invited to go to USC and start a club there. The Dean of Religious Studies is a friend of ours and is so favorable. So I was actually in my table and this guy came and, you know, I was inviting him, hey, you know, we're starting a yoga club, would you like to sign up? He said, oh, I'm an atheist. I said, it's okay, we have something for everyone. We have nice vegetarian Indian food and we have music and yoga lessons. Even if you're an atheist, you know, still fun. So he asked, like, you know, what is your opinion of atheists? Because he saw I was not bashing him. So he kind of opened up. So he's like, I'm curious, what do the Hare Krishnas think of atheists? I said, you know, any intelligent person can see that how we're being controlled at every moment, at every given moment, we're being controlled by a higher power. So you don't have to be like a, you know, fully devoted to God or anything, but at least you're an intelligent guy, you can see there's something controlling you, so why don't you find out what that is? And he was happy, actually, he signed up. And he got a prasadam cookie and a book, all in the name of being atheist. He's like, he doesn't even realize what he's getting involved. So this is the most effective, powerful medicine in this age of Kali. This Harinam and Prasad distribution and book distribution. And also the mercy of Panchatattva. My favorite pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas, they were ordered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go door to door and tell everybody that Krishna is your father, Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your life and soul, Krishna is your everything. So they would actually do that. They would go knocking door to door and Haridas would actually fall flat in between, you know, the door so they can close the door. And Nityananda Prabhu, being a saint, you know, they would ask him, like, because usually when a sadhu comes, you have to offer something. You want like roti or some rice or money or clothes. And only thing Nitai would actually ask is that he would beg them, chant Harinam, chant Hare Krishna like this. So Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur was going door to door following these instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's like Prabhupada was making life members in India. And this young, inexperienced, at least in India, brahmacharis, you know, they didn't know what to say to this rich, wealthy businessman. So Prabhupada told them, you know, you go to their offices, knock on their door, when they let you in, you tell them, you know, you've stolen so much money from Krishna, and you have to go to hell for this. So if you give certain amount of rupees, I forgot how much it is, so it's like 1,111 rupees, then you can become a life member and become saved from having to go to hell. And these boys like Giriraj Maharaj and Ambarish Prabhu and, you know, young brahmachari, they would go and they actually say this. Because they were repeating the words of Prabhupada and people would actually sign up. And every day they would be coming back with like lakhs of rupees. Like, you know, they would get like 50 life members, 100 life members like this. And it was funny because Ambarish Prabhu would ask, because Ambarish, you know, we all know, he comes from such a wealthy background. But they would actually take buses to go to from one life member office to another. And the heat of India and the crowd in the buses, they'll be squashed and all their dhoti will be wrinkled and the sikha will be in one direction. So Ambarish was so thirsty, so he one time asked Giriraj Maharaj, like, is it possible we can buy a soda, you know, we can get a soda, like, I want a drink. And Giriraj Swami said, oh, you know, this is Prabhupada's Lakshmi, each penny will buy him a brick, you know, we can't frivolously engage in this kind of activities, so we'll just drink water. So they were going in, these are like millionaires, sons of millionaires, they were going in buses, knocking in door to door. And the amazing thing was, in those days there were hardly any grihasthas, they were all wearing saffron, even Matajis were dressed like sannyasis. So Prabhupada wanted that there be some examples of grihasthas practicing Krishna consciousness. Now it's like the opposite, right? Now it's so many grihasthas, handful of brahmacharis. So Prabhupada asked Ambarish, you go and get a job and you chant Hare Krishna. And Ambarish was actually confused by this instruction. He said, like, do I have to get a job? And Prabhupada said, yes. Get a job, get married. And Ambarish said, I already have my business. Can I just go back to my business? And Prabhupada said, oh yeah, sure. Do something. I just want to see how you like living as a, you know, responsible, respectable, grihastha, householder examples I want to set like this. I just remember this pastime when I was remembering how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu to go door to door. And they actually came across Jagai and Madai. Jagai and Madai is explained in Chaitanya Bhagavat how they were like, you know, the incarnations of these famous demons like Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shishupal and Dantavakra. Many times in dramas and stuff we see like Jagai and Madai being like, you know, like funny characters, but they're not. They were like serious demons. They would actually, it's explained, they would read the Manu Samhita to see, you know, what sin they have not committed yet. And they would go out and do that. I mean, it was not good enough to like rape and set people's houses on fires and kill and eat cow flesh. They would look into Mani Samhita to see if they're missing anything. And Nityananda Prabhu actually saw them and said, you know what? These are the best prospects to prove the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya's appearance. Because it's one thing to go door to door and convert some brahmanas. But if I get these guys to actually chant Hare Krishna, then that's something. So they actually approached, and Nityananda Prabhu especially approached, and Haridas Thakur was hesitant. And they started chasing them. Jagai and Madai started chasing Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, and they actually ran away first time successfully. But then the second time they approached, they were so upset, they were like outraged. Jagai and Madai were, can't believe that these guys would have the audacity to approach them and ask them to chant the names of God. So this clay pot, they were actually drinking in clay pots, you know, so much liquor. It's unbelievable how much, you know, intoxication. So Madai actually hit Nityananda Prabhu on the head with the clay pot. And Nityananda Prabhu was actually bleeding. And the villagers were saying, we warned you so many times, don't even go near these guys, you didn't listen. But Nityananda Prabhu, even though he was attacked, still he was saying, this is okay, but just chant Harinam. Just chant Harinam. And it's explained, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually appeared on the scene with the Sudarshan disc to sever the heads of these rascals. And Nityananda Prabhu was begging Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Nityananda Prabhu was begging, if you actually kill the body of the demons in Kali Yuga, there'll be nobody left. Because you have to kill pretty much everybody. But if you kill the demoniac mentality of these rascals, then there's hope. And seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu in their association, their hearts actually changed. They fell at their feet and begged forgiveness. And this way, you know, they got love of God, even though they were like, you know, so lowly and so fallen. And Prabhupada would say, you know, Gaurang Mahaprabhu delivered, like Nityananda delivered one Jagai and Madai, but this Hare Krishna movement is delivering like thousands and thousands of Jagais and Madais. Prabhupada would be so proud. I remember when I first came to Krishna consciousness, I'd be amazed, like devotees would point out, oh, you know, this guy was a butcher, this one was a bank robber, this one was a prostitute, this one was this, this one was... But, you know, you can't... When you see them, they're so saintly, you can't even like picture them being something like that in the past. It's so beautiful how the change of heart happens by the mercy of Mahaprabhu's movement. Even, you know, people coming, like I'm an example myself, even you could be coming from, you know, a Brahmana family or Vaishnava family in India, from India, but, you know, we do so many sinful activities because our hearts are not clean. I talk to so many boys, you know, come, they say like, oh, some of them even have their Brahman threads in their wallet. They say like, oh, I'm a Brahmana, and then I ask, you have your thread? It's always in my wallet. So why is that? Oh, when I get drunk, I don't want to wear it, you know. When I eat meat, when I eat eggs, it's good for protein. I can't wear thread. And even one of my relatives, she's actually a gynecologist. I said, what is that? That means like all day long, people come and pay you to abort the kid, the babies in the womb that they don't want. She's got a big house and servants and cars coming from a Sri Vaishnava background. Because people are not educated, we are born into something, it means nothing. We have to have this process, we have to have this Krishna consciousness change your hearts. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita we see Mahaprabhu actually changed the heart of like Mayavadis, like Prakasananda Saraswati, Sarubham Bhattacharya. Muslim kings would change at the sight of Mahaprabhu or meeting one of his devotees. There was Buddhists. There was this Buddhist guru that wanted to feed abominable things to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the name of Prasad. So one big bird, like the size of a Garuda, picked up the plate, flew high in the air and dropped the heavy metal plate on the head of the Buddhist guru and he fainted. And the disciples, they were confused, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them, chant Hare Krishna in your guru's ear and you'll come to consciousness. And the disciples became the guru of the guru, and they chanted Hare Krishna in his ears. So many examples. Hindus, so many Hindus were complaining to Kazi that you're not supposed to chant the names of God because he's sleeping in the causal ocean, he's going to wake up and destroy everything. So many misconceptions, so many layers. Even among devotees, Mahaprabhu was so strict and brought them to another level. No associating with Mayavadis, no Vaishnava aparat. So there we have like layers and layers and layers of ignorance. But by chanting, it goes away. But unless we chant sincerely, there's like this girl. In the beginning days, she approached Prabhupada and said, oh, when I offer food to Krishna, I see this blue light hovering around the plate. Is that? Prabhupada intervened and said, keep chanting, it'll go away. So this is like our, you know, more or less our position. Like, we're all in, you know, ignorance, bodily concept, fighting and envious and greedy and lusty. And oh, there's like no end to all these anarthas. But through attentive chanting, through serious chanting of Hare Krishna mantra, reading Prabhupada's books, and distributing these teachings, in our short life, we can make it perfect. And whoever else, fortunate enough to receive this, they also go back to Godhead. Any questions or comments? Rabindranath Prabhu...
Yeah. Yes, you mentioned that Jagad Marai would read Manusmriti to see what sinful activities they could perform. Where is that mentioned?
I was listening one lecture by His Holiness Jai Patak Maharaj, and he was mentioning in his lectures. So, I don't know exactly that this is coming in the parampara. Sachito Noi Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. I quote from your lecturer that fighting is going all the time. And also at the end, you also mentioned that how that can be stopped by the association of devotees. So this is a true story that happened. I already told it about a couple of times, but it's worth it to hear it again because it's in relation to the holy name, devotees, and fighting. So about 4 or 5 years ago in Mexico City, there were two big groups, youngsters, ready to beat up each other. And the politicians were trying to stop it. The police was trying to stop it. Social workers were trying to stop it. But they didn't want to listen to them. So at one point, it's almost like, okay, go ahead and beat up each other. And at that moment, when there was no hope, a beautiful Harinam Sankirtan appeared in the middle of the scene, and this was not premeditated. Devotees were, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. The whole scene changed. Everything changed. People started dispersing and going away, and everybody was like shocked. The politicians and, you know, government workers came to shake hands with the devotees. And for like, I think the next day or 2 days, because this was watched by millions of people, they were praising the devotees and the Hare Krishna mantra.
Amazing.
So that proves that the holy name and
I
the
actually saw the video of this. There's actually a recording of this. The news actually captured this clip of what you're describing. And this actually you can see it. No, this was few years ago, and our devotee that disappeared, Kripavatar, he is actually there in the leading of the kirtan. Dutta Karma Prabhu had his.
So why is there peace sometimes? You were mentioning Srila Prabhupada was saying instead of asking why there is so much war, we should be asking why is there peace? So why is there peace?
Prabhupada would explain how when there is a little break, Maya gives you a little break from beating you up, we take that as peace. But that's just like Prabhupada gives the example how the king, he takes a criminal and drowns him in water and he's just about to dry and then he brings him up and then he gets to inhale a few seconds again, pushes him in like that. So that break, we take it as peace. That's what Prabhupada explained, but that's not real peace. Nothing compared to, you know, the ecstatic symptoms that the devotees are experiencing in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Prabhu, you mentioned about the demigods, you know, like how we're not supposed to worship, but at the same time, Prabhupada recommend that you have to pray to each demigods and not ignore them, because they exist in different positions. Like Lord Shiva, if you go to many of the established Gauriya Mats by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there's on the side, there's a little bunch of kind of like a vasasan with Shiva and little like semi-temple, but so at least you can like, you know, they don't worship, but they put some water and pray because often sometimes we know the history of the Vrindavan. Lord Shiva is like the the front guard of the Vrindavan before you enter and mm-hmm. you release the pastimes, you have to go through that, you know, Lord Shiva. And obviously, you know, there goes, you know, follows permission of Radharani, you know, Vrinda, different devotees. So that was just a point.
Thank you, yeah. Yeah, that's obvious. Like, you know, one thing is be respectful to the demigods and we know their position, but like Prabhupada's mentioning how, you know, we shouldn't become like full-fledged devotees of a certain demigod to fulfill some material desire. That's a big difference. But you can approach them in the right mood to get Krishna's service or Krishna bhakti. Vaninath had a question.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your wonderful class. You mentioned about the Jaga and Madhais, they are so envious. So among, in this Hare Krishna's movement, you know, we have like so much envy on devotees like Jaga and Madhai. So how we can like tolerate or how we can move on? Could you please explain?
Yeah, it's explained that, you know, when you see a Vaishnava, anyone who chants Hare Krishna as a Vaishnava, we have to give obeisances, at least in the mind. But there are different levels of Vaishnavas, so when you see an advanced devotee, you're supposed to serve and get their association. When you meet somebody on your equal level, you make friends with them. But then when you meet somebody like that's less than you, like junior to you or envious. I mean, less than you is okay. Junior to us is okay, but if somebody is envious, we don't like associate with them or hear from them. We don't take guidance from them and serve them. We just avoid them. Keep some respectful distance. And Krishna will take care because they're chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna will work on them. It may take some lifetimes to go back to Godhead, but Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.